This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Some experiences in life are straightforward. Some are meant to be examined from multiple angles across the years and reshared in a variety of forms. Today's topic is one such experience. In 2019, Ashland resident Irving Lubliner published the book Only Hope, A Survivor's Stories of the Holocaust. It's a collection of remembrances that were written by his mother, Felicia Lubliner, who survived the Auschwitz concentration camp and went on to become a published author and public speaker. Last December, Audible released the audiobook version of Only Hope, and now a compelling one-woman play is being developed, a play that's stunning in its ability to evoke the mood of the daily experience of the camp. Here to talk about Felicia's stories in all their iterations are Irv Lubliner, Lisa Ivory, who adapted and directed the stage play, and Christine Williams, who both narrates the audiobook and stars in the play. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
Hi, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Irv, your mother, Felicia, grew up in Poland, and she was 16 years old when the Nazis invaded in 1939. What happened to her during the war, and how did she ultimately make her way to the U.S.?
Well, the whole family's life was very much interrupted as they were evicted from their home and pushed into the ghetto in the little village that they lived in. And the family was together for a while, and then certain members of the family, including my mother's father and one of her sisters, were taken away and never seen again. Ultimately, they closed the ghetto in the little town of Pabianica and took my mother and the relatives that were still together with her to the much larger and very overcrowded Lodz ghetto. And she spent time there and ultimately was taken by train in a cattle car to Auschwitz. And she was there for too long. Every day was too long. If you arrived in Auschwitz and weren't killed immediately, you had a life expectancy of about 2 months. And she survived more than 2 months there and ultimately was sent to another camp called Gross Rosen, was liberated from Gross Rosen in May of 1945.
And how did she meet your father and make her way to California?
My mother had lost all of her siblings, 8 siblings, but my father had only one sibling, an older brother, who survived the Holocaust. And when he was reunited with my father, his fiance met my dad and said, "I know a woman from my little village. She survived. I want to introduce you." And she played matchmaker and brought my parents together. They married in 1946 and came to the U.S. in 1949. And by 1960, my mother was a published author writing all of her stories in English, which amazes me.
It amazed me reading about it. Talk about an indomitable spirit. She learned English quickly and then began publishing and sharing her story.
Exactly, very quickly. And it amazes me that she was raising me and my older brother and working as a seamstress and somehow found the time to be taking classes to master the English language. I could not beat her in Scrabble. She just had an amazing vocabulary.
Now, when she passed away in 1974, you inherited her writings and recordings. And we have a clip from one of them. And this sort of explains perhaps why she was so driven to learn the language and publish so widely and share that story.
You store things in your memory and you say to each other, let's not ever forget any of it. Because if we do come out of alive of this, if we do wake up from this insane nightmare, we have to bring the message to make sure that this thing will never happen again.
So, Irv, you've taken up the baton of carrying this message forward. So besides these works of art that you've created, the book and now the stage play, you've done a lot of public speaking around the country, just like your mother did, about her story to deepen people's understanding of the Holocaust. What impact have you seen on the audiences that you've met? Do you see people connecting with this story?
Well, I published the book in response to so many teachers, students, and parents of students that I spoke to in their schools. Everybody was telling me, you need to publish these. And that was a message I heard for about 30 years. Mm-hmm. And finally, in 2019, after retiring from Southern Oregon University in 2014, I knew that the one thing I had to do now that I was retired was publish these stories. So that happened in 2019. We have here in Ashland the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and we are one of about 124 such institutes nationwide. I've now spoken for about 86 of them, I believe,
wow,
which has allowed me to make a lot of people aware of words that my mother wanted to share with me, but also with the world. And I continue to do presentations in middle schools, high schools. I've presented here at SOU. I do feel like this is really something I'm very, very passionate about, want to continue to do. And I'm blessed that Lisa has adapted those writings to create a play, that Chris did such a beautiful job on the audiobook. And I just feel so fortunate that these things are coming my way and enabling me to further the message.
And Lisa, adapting a story from one medium to another is an art form in itself. So what were your responsibilities with this? And did you have any guiding principles as you tried to translate the book into a stage play?
I think the most important thing was to get the gist of each of the separate chapters, which sort of take us through the arc of her experience, going through these dark days, and also being resilient enough to recover and thrive without being overcome by the desire for revenge or guilt at survival, all of which she suffered from. So for me, as an old English major and a longtime actor, I thought putting it on stage and theatricalizing it and making it a multimedia experience would work in the schools, because I feel as a middle-aged white lady who's had an easy life that I could be an ally and an advocate and get this going. And I never adapted a book. You know, I've written other things for the stage, but I've never adapted a book into a play. And I know Chris very well. And I was so taken with the audiobook and the book itself that I really felt passionate that there was something I could do to get this story to more people and potentially get productions, you know, actual professional productions done of this story where it would be developed.
And we're going to hear from Chris in just a minute, but first, we have a clip from the audiobook. Here's an excerpt of Only Hope, a survivor's stories of the Holocaust, with Christine Williams narrating.
I chose to live, for every hour lived at Auschwitz was a victory. And if I had lost in the end, I would be marching to meet death along with the others, without tears, without dramatic outbursts, but in a silence that shrieked its mute protest into the unheeding heavens and a deaf world.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Irv Lubliner, Lisa Ivory, and Christine Williams, talking about the book, audiobook, and stage versions of this Holocaust memoir. Here, Chris describes the process of becoming the voice of the survivor, Felicia Lubliner.
I feel like I know Felicia because I've been living with her for a couple of years now. She was an incredible writer, and that's the thing that struck me from the very beginning when I first read the stories, that I've actually narrated other memoirs of the Holocaust and have done a fair amount of digging into that time period. I'm really fascinated by it. And something about her stories, the way that she wrote and structured and created a whole way of bringing people into that experience was unlike any other that I've read before. And so I've been very passionate myself about this is a perfect way to help people understand the humans at the center of this experience and how like us today they were then, and it helps us take seriously our responsibility to not let that happen again.
Right. Can you explain more about what you mean about the unique way she had of structuring the stories?
Well, it was when I learned from Irv that she had done stand-up comedy routines at his elementary school parents' night talent shows that made me have my aha moment. Like, well, of course, because she was such a great storyteller. And she had a sense of humor even inside those horrific experiences. And by humor, I mean her humanity, her way of capturing an image of an event and of relating to it in this way that draws you into it in the best way that comics do, of helping you put you right there in that experience, and you know you're being taken care of. So she shaped the stories. She had a marvelous sense of story structure. And the way that she shaped the stories and draws people in, we get to go with this person that we trust, and we are changed through the experience.
I think I have I've had a little glimpse into what you mean about the mastery of storytelling mm-hmm. that she has. When I was watching one of her videos, she described arriving at the camp at Auschwitz in a cattle car, and there was a sign over the gate saying, "Work shall set you free." And she said, only later would we realize that it should have said, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here," you know, quoting Dante. So, Lisa, did you have something to add to
that? Yeah, just that Chris touched on the core of what drew me to this. And you're talking about the cattle cars. And she'd say, so follow me, if you can, if you will, into Auschwitz.
Yes.
Because you are with me now. What would you do if it were your life? What would you do? How would you behave? And one of the really deathly funny things that she said was, and you have this little piece of bread, and you're thinking, well, if they were going to put you to death, why the hell would they give you bread?
Right. It defies logic.
I mean, it's so awfully funny, you know. And so you really challenge yourself, and you think, well, I wouldn't have just surrendered or whatever. You know, and she talks about Anne Frank saying, that's what it was like. You're looking into the barrel of a gun and the Doberman dogs and the German shepherds, and you pick up your bundle and go, you know, that you realize that you really don't know until you're there.
And she had the poetry to say something like, death looked at you from the barrels of guns. Death looked at you from the doctors examining you. Now, with the stage reading you just produced, the set is very spare, so the photos that are projected above the stage and the audio elements play a crucial role. Tell me about that soundscape.
Well, this was a really rich tapestry because it was a multimedia production that I conceived, and I found a wonderful stage manager from Camelot and OSF named A.J. Ark, who layered in the sounds of rain, distant gunshots, dogs barking, the sound of wind, the sound of terrible, frightening things, but so low, like Zone of Interest, like the film. But he created the world that you would experience at Auschwitz. And then A.J. McCalla, who actually is the Classics and News Service DJ here, one of your hosts, he created underscoring, almost like an opera. And he created and found pieces, sometimes that he would layer one on top of the other, but most importantly, to take us through the story, the whole arc of the story, from each chapter heading so that the audience would know where they were, and then come underneath the big moments, sometimes with multiple pieces playing one over the other.
It seemed really effective in setting the scene. Chris, I wonder what your experience was like taking two different approaches with Felicia's stories, first with the audiobook narration and now with a one-woman play.
The way that I look at it and the way that maybe it's easiest to understand is the difference between film acting and stage acting. Hmm. So there's a difference of scale. The intentions are exactly the same, but it's more focused in. And so the difference is that I was already deep into the story and the character, but actually physicalizing her and physicalizing the story gave me an even deeper insight than working on the book as a narrator. And so that was the big difference for me.
Okay.
She did a magnificent job.
Oh, with thanks.
She was in the house. She was in her childhood home. She was in the camp. She was in the ghetto. She was in those places, making them live.
She brought it to life.
Yeah, she really did. Yeah. I couldn't have been happier.
Well, thank you all for sharing about this story. I really appreciate your time, and I wish you the best of luck in carrying this forward. My guests today were Irv Lubliner, Lisa Ivory, and Chris Williams. You can learn more about Only Hope, a survivor's story of the Holocaust and the life of Felicia Lubliner, at onlyhopebook.com, where there are recorded presentations and book excerpts. I'm Vanessa Finney for The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. You can learn more about this episode and listen to others at jeffexchange.org and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform.